Revelation chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. When he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. And it was given unto him, a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "Measure wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. When it opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became as black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, and every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and to the rocks, "Fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Father, bless your word to us tonight. Open every heart, every life, every mind. Oh God, may we understand that which you've written. It was freedom and ease and power. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to go through the entire tribulation period right here in chapter 6 as we go through these seals. The seventh chapter is over in the seventh seal is over in chapter 8, and you have it there in the first part of chapter 8. But as we go through here, we go through these six plagues, the six seals. Now, there were seven seals on the back of the book. Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ walked up to the throne, there was a book there. It had seven seals. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. At any rate, it had seven seals. And it was opened up. Somebody says, "What is that book?" Well, it's either the book of Revelation or it's the book, the Word of God opens it. Jesus one opens it to you anyway. Whatever it was a seal book that no man could open except Jesus Christ. The only one had power to do it. Now, as he breaks these seals, and by the seals, it's just like you had a big stamp. Only thing in that day, the stamp wasn't a little piece of paper that you licked. It was like paraffin that was melted on it with a seal of a ring or something stamped into it. Now, this book he's talking about is a scroll. It's not a book bound with individual pages such as you have here. It is a rolled up book that's written on the inside and the outside, and at the end of it, it is sealed and rolled together and stamped together with seven seals. Now, as he goes up and he breaks that first seal, certain thing happens. He breaks the second seal, and a certain thing happens. So what you have in chapter 6 of Revelation is Jesus Christ opening the seven seals of the closed book, and as he does, God Almighty describes that which happens. Okay? You understand where we are? All right, let's look at the first one. And I saw the Lamb open one of the seals. When the Lamb opened one of the seals. And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And what you're going to see in these seven seals are things that are going to take place on the earth. And what you see here is a man that sits on a white horse with a crown and a bow, and he goes forth conquering, and his purpose is to conquer nations on the face of the earth. Now, immediately when people see that white horse rider with a crown on his head, they say Jesus. And over and over and over again, you're going to read it. You go to commentator after commentator. He's going to tell you that's Jesus. But that's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. That's the Antichrist. He's going to look so much like Jesus, the world's going to think he's Jesus. He's going to come out with victory and power, and the world's going to come to Him. He's got the answer to our problems. I want you to know the world's looking for a man right now that could answer their problems. My electricity bill this month shocked my wife so bad she lost 3 nights sleep, I think. No, not really. She never loses 3 nights sleep. But anyway, it did shock her. You know, look at the electricity bill. What are they doing to us? That's the way you feed. Walk down to the gas pump and fill your car up. And all of a sudden you start crying. You don't cry all the way home. Walk down to buy a new car. You will cry. Prices are getting out of sight. Wages keep going up. Prices keep going up. Somebody was telling me here a while back that by the year 2000, the average man in America will make $75,000 a year. And it'll take $78,000 to live. Sounds about right. That's about my way of living. I make about so much and it takes so much more to live. But at any rate, that's normal. See, that's the way life goes, seems like. But it's come out of proportion. It's gotten out of sight. It's gotten out of hand. Take some time a scale and draw up a scale of the population of the world. And I'll tell you how it would come out. Let me draw it for you. Somebody lost my chalk. Need another piece. If you have a population on the world scale going out something like this in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, it would go up sort of like that. You could come to right here about 1900. 1860 to 1900. Population of the world is doing an unreal thing right now. It is multiplying, 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 multiplying. It's unreal. The first billion in the world was reached somewhere around the Civil War. And the second one, somewhere around 1900, 1910, 1920. I don't remember the figures. Don't have them with me right now. The third one, the third billion by 1950. Here we are in the 70s and have about the fourth billion right now. And the estimations are, and that's about where that line would go to there on a normal scale. The estimations are that by the year 2000, there'll be somewhere between 6 and 8 billion people in the world. There are more people alive today than have died. That ought to blow your mind. There are more people alive today than have died. Figure it out. This world has got so many people. They don't know what to do. Where are we going to feed them all? You talk about a food crisis and political crisis and trying to get the oil nations that have a have-all nations with a have-not-all nations because we run on oil. You got all of these things going and all sorts of problems. What in the world are you going to do? We're looking for a man. A miracle worker. A man that can feed everybody. A man that can change the economy of the world and get it right. A man that can have the answer to all the problems that there are. Here he is. Chapter 6. There he is right there. Notice who opened it for. It was the first four of them were opened by the first four beasts. You remember those beings? Had four different heads, six different wings, and arms underneath those wings? The ones that are on each side of the throne of God? The ones that cry, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty," to the cherubim with the seraphim. Am I doing something funny? Bless your heart. I just look funny some days, don't I? Look at her. Tell you what. These fantastic beings that are around there crying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty," fantastic creatures. And the first one comes up, and when he opens the thing, opens the seal, he comes over to John and says, "Come and see. Come and see." And what did he see? "And I saw." He says, "And I saw. And behold, a white horse. He has a crown." Notice. He has a crown. He has a bow. And a white horse. He doesn't have many crowns. He doesn't have a sword. He's different than Jesus, as you read. Now look with me over chapter 19. I want to show you Jesus. Let's get the other white horse. Chapter 19, verse 11. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's Jesus. The fellow on the white horse in chapter 6 is the Antichrist. He's the one that looks enough like Jesus to fool the whole world. Don't think he's going to look like a devil with a pointed tail and horns and a red underwear suit. That's not what the Antichrist is going to look like. He's going to look like Jesus. He's going to sound like Jesus. He's going to do miracles like Jesus. This world's ready for him.
Amen.
This world is ready for him. They're looking for a man with answers. Somebody that can feed us, live us all a good life. That can raise up the countries that are down. That can get things together, you know, all the things of the world and unite it. To have a United States of the world. That's what they need. It's what they want. They've already begun. They've seen what's happened in the United States of America. And they've created a United States of Europe. They've created a United States of Central America. And by doing so, they've raised their standard of living already in the very short time they've done it. In other words, they've dropped the tariffs between countries so that the countries that have steel can ship it to the countries that don't have steel. The countries that have oil or that manufacture tires can ship it to the countries that don't manufacture tires without having to pay the high imports and passage fees and laws, tariffs upon things. And therefore, more people can buy. The more people buy, the more they sell. The more they sell, the more people they hire, more profits made, the higher the standard of living goes everywhere. The whole world wants what America has. They'd love to have it. You wouldn't want to leave it, would you? No. We've lived in unparalleled prosperity. But you know, we've got problems today that the economists don't know how to handle. This man's going to handle them. This man's going to come in with the answers and the whole world's going to be in such a mess. They're already there right now, but you give it a few more years. If you think things have happened in the last 10, you wait to see in the next 10. They're going to happen so fast before your very eyes, you're not going to know what's happening. This guy's going to get on his white horse. And when he gets on his white horse, he's going to charge off conquering and to conquer. But he's not going to be followed by the armies of heaven and a 1,000-year reign of peace. No, sir. What follows him? Look at it. War, famine, death, hell, and the greatest tribulation period this world has ever seen or ever will see. That's what follows this white horse rider. This is not Jesus. And to take it as Jesus is to make a mistake in interpretation. This white horse rider carries a bow. Jesus never carries a bow in the Word of God. Jesus carries a sword.
Amen.
Jesus does not have a crown. He refused a crown. Jesus has many crowns. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Prince of all the kingdoms of the world. That's Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus comes, my friend, they'll see him everywhere. They'll know him. He'll crush him quickly, powerfully. All right. The Antichrist is the first thing you see coming upon the scene. When the first seal's broken, the great imitator of Christ, and to be an imitator of Christ, you've got to look like him, act like him, talk like him enough that you can fool the world and they think you're him. And that's what the world's going to do. They're going to think they're following God. They're going to think they've found the miracle worker, the Christ, the Savior of the world. And most of this world's going to follow him hook, line, and sinker all the way. They're not going to think they missed a thing. Saw a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse. Now the first horse was a white horse. Now I could go into a lot of different things, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to go through it for you and show you something. There went out another horse that was red. And power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. What is this red horse? It's war. War. You see, War's been around a long time. And there are a lot of nice pacifists looking around trying to stop war, and that's great. I hope they hold back any of them they possibly can, but I want you to know something. The biggest and best wars are yet to come. I tell you what, there's bigger and more and better and stronger and more powerful on the way. Many wars, and I want you to know when this red heart gets through, it's not finished there. There's another war sitting back over there in chapter 19, 18, the Battle of Armageddon.
Amen.
And it's a bigger and a better one yet. I mean, it's going to include the whole world. And men are going to be slain till the blood's going to run in a valley 160 miles long to the depth of the bridle. You talk about a war. Oh, I'll tell you what. They thought when they had the First World War and they signed armistice that all wars had ceased. Then the Second World War come along. First World War, Second World War. We're getting ready for... There's wars everywhere. Well, I want you to know, when this Antichrist goes out, there's another horse giving us war. Look at Matthew 24:6. Matthew chapter 24, verse 6. You shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Have you ever heard of so many earthquakes? You students of history, you ever heard of so many earthquakes as we've had in our generation in this last time? I don't remember reading about it. I don't remember studying about it. Oh, I've heard about one or two great earthquakes, you know, big earthquakes in different times. Tremendous disasters. You think of what's happened in India and in China and in Guatemala and all around the world. Tremendous earthquakes. What about wars? Oh, we don't have any big war going now. Just about every country in the world's got its own civil war going. Wars everywhere. 13 missionaries have been killed in this last month. In one or two nations in South Africa alone. No telling how many more we haven't heard about. Oh, I'll tell you what. These are the beginnings of sorrows. The end's not yet. Be not troubled. Don't let be troubled. War is going to be around. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 3. 'For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. Peace and safety. The Antichrist will go out preaching peace, just like the Russians preach peace. You know what the Russians want? Peace. They want a piece of this and a piece of that and a piece of it all. Amen? And they want the biggest peace. They want the whole peace. And they want peace. They can say they want peace. And they're right. They want peace. That's right. And I'll tell you the other kind of peace they want. You know the kind of peace they want? They want the same peace the Roman government had. Everybody conquered and under their government. That's peace. That's right. That's the kind of peace Jesus is going to have. The whole world's going to be conquered. The world's going to be at peace. The reason why is going to have a king sitting on it that rules with a rod of iron. And they dare not rise against him. Though they hate him with all their guts, they dare not rise against him. Because when they do, and anybody that does, is crushed immediately. There's going to be a 1,000-year reign of righteousness and peace. Because Jesus is not going to be the gentle little lamb sitting on the throne. He's going to be the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And the greatest world ruler the world has ever seen. They want peace. And this man's going out for peace. Well, what's going to happen? When they say peace, 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 war! A great sword's given to him. And war all around, everywhere. As he goes forth conquering and to conquer, he's going to have to conquer with war. The idea of many people to throw down all your guns, burn up all your planes, destroy all your bombs, but just all live in peace. The way we'll live in peace is to be conquered by our enemies. Then we'll be at peace. That's ridiculous. I'd rather die with my 45 in my hand than to be at peace with my children raised in a godless world. I'd rather see my kids slaughtered in the streets and slaughtered in my living room And I love every one of them. But I'd rather see them slaughtered in the streets and slaughtered in my living room. And I'd rather it kill me than to watch my children and my grandchildren grow up being taught there is no God. Being taught that all there is this life and the materialistic side. No, no. I'll tell you what. I'm not a warmonger. I don't believe I'm a warmonger. I guess people would consider me a hawk. It's all right you consider me anything you want to. A buzzard, if you please. It doesn't matter to me. But I tell you what, I believe while you're in this world, you're going to have to fight for some things. And I'm willing to fight for freedom. And I'm willing for my kids to fight for freedom. War. Yes, war is going to follow him. They're going to kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. When he'd opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And behold, a black horse. Now what is this black horse? The white horse is the Antichrist. The red horse is war. The black horse is famine. Famine. Look at the word. He that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. Now, this may not be familiar to you. Most of you are raised up now to the point that you have nice adjusted spring scales everywhere you weigh something out. But you just drop down into Mexico, into a little village, or go drop into Guatemala, or drop into India, anywhere, and the peddlers are going to come around. They'll have a stick. And there'll be a string coming up with that stick. You know, nothing too fancy, just a little string going up through. And of course, they know which side's longer, I'm sure. It looks like it's even, you know. And they've got these little weights. They've got a half a kilo and 1 kilo and 2 kilo and what have they carry around along their side. And you're going to buy so much corn. Or you're going to buy so many potatoes, so many pounds of potatoes, and it's sold by the kilo. That's just about 2 2/10 pounds. So much per kilo. And as they sit there with her, they'll take the basket down off of their head and they'll pull out this little balance. And she'll sit up there and you've got 3 strings down in a little tin bucket and 3 strings down in a little tin bucket. And you've got this thing here. It's easy to carry. It just folds up. And they'll open it out and you say, "I want 2 kilos. They take the 2 kilo weight and stick it in this side and they'll fill up the other side until she comes down with it. And they'll give you out your key. Fill it up again. Give you out however much you want. It's got balances in his hand. He's weighing it out. I want you to notice. He says, he that sat on the horse had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny. And 3 measures of barley for a penny. And see, they hurt not the oil and wine." Doesn't that sound good? That sounds pretty good. Man, a measure of wheat for a penny? Let's see how good that is. Okay? Job 30:30. I'm going to read some verses. Let me get some of you reading points. Why don't you look up Job 30:30. Brother, why don't you look up Jeremiah 14:1-2. Brother Banks, Lamentations 5:10. Bernie, Ezekiel 4:16. And Brother Barnes, how about Matthew 20:2? Y'all have these ready for me and read them to me when I call for them. We got famine. I want to talk about famine for just a minute and some of these verses that deal with famine. Job 30:30. Brother Whitney. Did I give you Job? Oh, who did I give? Oh, I gave it to you, Jim. All right, yeah, I did that. Yeah, 14:1-2. All right, Job 30:30, Jim.
"My skin is black upon me and my bones are burned with heat."
Okay. My skin is black upon me. Why? From what he'd gone through? Tremendous trouble. Okay, Jeremiah 14:1-2.
"The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dirt, Judah murmured, and the gates therefore languish, and the black under the ground cried, Jerusalem is gone up."
The dirt, that's a famine. And it's black. All right, Lamentations 5:10.
"My skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine."
My skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. In other words, the skin loses its color and loses its natural tint because of the lack of food. Okay, Ezekiel 4:16.
"Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, behold, I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they shall eat bread by weight, and with care, and they shall drink water by measure, and with astonishment."
All right. I'm going to break the staff of bread, and they're going to eat it by weight. Balances is how they judge their weight. And they're going to drink their water by measure. It's famine. It's famine. Look, if you will, at Matthew 20:2. Would you read it for me, brother?
"And when he had agreed with his laborers for a penny a day, day he sent them into his vineyard.
You know what a penny is in the Bible? It's a day's wage. Some of you make $40 a day? How'd you like to pay $40 for your bread, one measure? Some of you make $100 a day? How'd you like to pay $100 for one measure? Huh? Well, I'll tell you what. He's talking about famine. He's talking about balancing out the food for a day's wage. Yes, sir, famine's coming. Not only the Antichrist going forth conquering to conquer, not only war, but a black horse. And that black horse stands for famine. And a measure of wheat for a penny. And 3 measures of barley for a penny. And see, thou hurt not the oil and the wine. I mean, take care of that oil and wine. It's precious. It's precious. Famine's coming. Tell you what, the Bible predicted the famine years ago. No matter what we think about how we're going to do it all, and we're going to feed the world, and how America can do it, all you got to do is have one little drought. Just things come a little bit wrong. Boy, you drop those Kansas farmers and Iowa farmers up there, a little bit of problem. California farmers, have a little freeze. Hit Florida and Texas and California and see how many people you're going to feed. You're going to have a good time feeding your country. Much less the rest of the world. Well, it doesn't take much. It just doesn't take much. And it's not going to take much. And that many people in the world? There are people starving to death right now around the world. Literally starving to death in all of the plenty that you and I cannot imagine starvation. We don't measure our food out. We eat all that we want. Take a look at you. You think I'm fat? Look at the rest of you. You're all in the same shape. There's a few skinny ones. But most of you fat. You're not measuring your food out. You're just eating all the while you want. And you're throwing it out to the dog. You all got fat dogs too. The food that's carried out by the trash is unreal. Most of you wouldn't look at leftovers. He's just spoiled. Oh, I'll tell you, the day's going to come, leftovers look awful good. In fact, when they cut it up, some great big old guy like me will say, is that all I'm going to get? Oh, boy. They start cutting that stuff down. They take that cornbread pan, it's a little old bitty cup, and they divide it up with a little old bitty chunk for everybody, and they say, is that all? That's my daily portion. Yes, sir. Famine. And when he'd opened the fourth seal, verse 7, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, with the beasts of the earth. Death and hell are spoken of peculiarly in the book of Revelation. Several ways. Revelation 1:18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. The keys of hell and death. Revelation 20:13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. 1 Samuel 30:33. 1 Samuel 30:33. That didn't work, did it? Isaiah. That's got to be Isaiah 30:33. I have a problem the way I write my ones and my I's. That's what fouls me up when I'm reading my notes sometimes. Isaiah 30. There we go. I think we're going to hit it right this time. For Tophet is ordained of old. Yea, for the king it is prepared. He hath made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of the Lord, like the stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. That's hell. Death and hell. For Tophet is ordained of old. Yea, for the king, that's Satan, it is prepared. He hath made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. Set on fire of hell. Well, Revelation 19:20. The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Death is in the center of the earth. Look at Matthew 12:40. Matthew 12:40. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Not in a grave sitting right up on the top of it. In the heart of the earth. Look at Acts 2:3. Uh-oh. 2:31. And he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of
the same also that ascended up far above all heaven, that he might fill all things. That's right. Hell is in the heart of the earth, the center of the earth. Now, this pale heart is death. Tremendous number of people are going to die. Death's going to be something that during one period of time, during this tribulation, or even several periods, many are going to die. As you're going to read later on, there is a period of time, and maybe several periods of time, when they're going to want to die and can't die. But multitudes are going to die. And as this fourth plague comes out upon us, this pale horse is death, and hell follows after him. Now, his name that fed on him was death. He's a death angel. He's a death angel. And he's going to ride on the earth. Now I was given him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the earth. Now, the sword, you know about that, a fourth part of the earth, how much that would be, I don't know, how many continents, would this plague take place over the Americas, or would it take place over the continent of Europe, would it take place over Asia? Africa, I don't know what makes up a fourth. But it looks to me like that when this pale horse comes, this plague covers a fourth part of the face of the earth. Maybe these horses are going to go in different parts. Maybe they're all going over the same part. I really don't know. I'm not sure. It doesn't tell us the locality that these things are taking place. But certainly the first fellow going forth conquering, and the conqueror is conquering territory in a certain area. Probably Europe and Asia and Africa. In this area there. And then the red horse was the war. The war is going to take place in an area on the face of the earth. And the famine will certainly take place in an area if it doesn't take place everywhere. It'll certainly take place in an area. And when he comes down here, he gives you a specific amount of area where all this is going to happen. A fourth part of the earth. That means that three-fourths of the earth will not have this exactly happening in the same way, but one-fourth will. Now then, he's going to kill with a sword. That may be individuals fighting one another. It may be the battle and the war that's taking place. He's going to kill with hunger. There's your famine. You could say the sword up there was number one. And you could say famine. And with death, I guess that would be the pestilence, like that. The Black Death, or something like that. How do you kill with death? You know, I'm not sure I understand exactly that, the way it's worded and what it is. But I would think probably something like plague. You let famine get out, and you let your water system get messed up, and all of a sudden, you know, it wouldn't take long to paralyze this city. Knock the electricity out, knock the garbage collection out, and pollute the water. And see how many people die inside of a month's time. Didn't take any time at all. You see, we're so centralized. Just knock out the trucking industry and see how many people starve. In 1900, most of the people in the United States lived on farms. They could eat, but they couldn't do it. Even they couldn't pay their bills, they could eat. That's your heart. 90% of this country lives in cities. And everything's brought to them by truck and train and transportation and mass movement, mass water systems, huge water systems, electrical systems, garbage trash systems. Do you remember when the garbage men went on strike in New York City? Do you remember seeing the pictures of the garbage lying in the street? Can you imagine the filth? The rats, the roaches, the flies, the disease, the filth? Let it go for 2 or 3 months. When your major systems are knocked out in your major cities around the world, see what happens. The cities are going to get it, maybe. What few people live out in farms are going to have a better chance if the others don't come out and kill them to get what they got. And that may be happening, too. Anyway, you've got death, kill with death. I would take that as plague, pestilence, disease. And with the beast of the earth, something's going to happen so that the beast of the earth, dogs, are going to be fed fat like they are now. They're going to turn wild. Lions and bears and cougars and roar, the beast of the earth. Maybe the beasts of the earth are going to be plagued a certain way or have their minds changed by whatever. Maybe the radiation of bombs or something else where they're going to get wild and mean and savage. You know, if you could go out and a fox would never attack a man unless it goes mad. If you let a fox get mad and you get within 40 feet of him, he'd charge you and pass you and bite you and tear you up good. Most snakes will run from you. You don't really have to be worried about most snakes. Most snakes will run from you, try to get away from you. They don't come after you. You have to surprise one. You have to scare one. Unless it's some big hungry thing over there in Africa that could eat you. Not many of them running around loose today. But you know, what if their nature would change? They're coming out of their holes looking for men. How'd that make you sleep at night, huh? Yeah, the beast of the earth. When it opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, hold him true, dost thou not judge and avenge?" Now then, I do not believe this is the stage of generations past. My personal thinking is these right here. I think the church is already out at the judgment seat of Christ, dressed in white robes and waiting for the marriage at this time. I believe these are the people of the earth that have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and been beheaded for during the tribulation period. Multitudes are going to die at the hands of the Antichrist and others because they will not take the mark of the beast, because they refuse to obey, because they're fighting armies, and you get an army, the fourth part of the world is going to die. The third of mankind is going to die. You're going to see tremendous numbers are going to die in plagues and pestilences. And how many are going to die by having their heads cut off? There's a lot of people converted to Islam years ago. You read back in some of the history of the medieval times. And as Islam came into power, they'd come in and conquer Christian nations. They'd go through the streets. "You believe in Allah. I believe in Lord Jesus Christ." Cut your head off. "You believe in Allah, and I believe in Allah, Jesus Christ," says his head. Someone says, "You believe in Allah, I believe in Allah." They got a lot of converts with souls. And a lot of people got converted with the soul. There are a lot of people made Catholics during the Inquisition. Oh, yeah, tremendous number. Why? Maybe in their hearts they would do. But outwardly, they were just the most pious Catholic you could ever want because there was an Inquisition, brother, that if you had anything suspect about you, you were dropped off down the bottom and they pulled your toenails out and stripped your skin off an inch at a time, put you on a rack and stretched you, and you started out at 5 foot, you ended up 7 foot. All sorts of horrible things. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs, the Fox's Book of Christian Martyrs, either one. Read it on your blood code. That's what people have done for the name of Christ. And some of them not even for the name of Christ, for other things. That's the martyrs. You know, as many multitudes died for the name of Jesus Christ and for their faith in the early years of Christianity, even so, during this great tribulation period, many are going to believe upon the Lord, and they're going to believe upon Jesus Christ, and they're going to die for their faith. They're going to hold them before the courts and the governments of the land. Isn't it going to be illegal? It's going to be legal. Just as legal as Hitler's slaughter of 12 million people. Just as legal. Just as legal as Nero's slaughter of millions of people. Just as legal as the slaughter of Christians and Jews in Russia and in communist China. Just as legal. Just as legal as the slaughter of multitudes and the jailing of multitudes and the parching of multitudes in Cuba and the capital. Just as legal. It's going to be legal. I mean, the ones in power are going to say, these people are refugees, these people are causing trouble, these people are rebellious and disobedient, and most of the world's going to believe us. Listen to the cry. They're straying for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice. How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on earth? You know what they're crying for God to do? Vengeance. Lord, it's time to change from grace to judgment. They're crying for judgment. They're crying for vengeance. Avenger! What does the Lord say? Verse 11, white robes are given unto every one of them. They were set in red, they said, rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now, what do you think for a minute about that? Killed as they were. Killing's going to keep on going. Killing Christians haven't stopped, brother. And killing Christians isn't going to stop until the last one dies and Jesus comes again. Yes, sir. Some of it may happen before the rapture. You and I may see some persecution. I hope not. I hope the rapture comes and we go out for it all here. Hope I never see one of my children dashed to pieces. I hope I never see my wife's head cut off. Hope she knows I have to watch mine. Hope I have no right to watch you, so you have to watch mine. But it could happen. I know that terrible times are coming on this earth. And I believe this thing. God's word doesn't make a mistake. There's no lie here. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. He said, rest a little while. You know, God's always patient. It amazes me, the patience of God. I'm such an impatient person that the patience of God amazes me. Rest a little while. He said, it's all under control. You fellas just rest. I'm going to give you a white robe. You just rest. Oh, I'll tell you what. Until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. He said, oh, it hadn't all happened yet. There's more to come. Let it all get finished. Let the whole thing just take its course. Let it run right on down. You know, God's not looking in and those people are dying. And yet God's going to let them die. And all this, Pentecostal utopianism is a mistake. It's just not understanding the world. Everybody's going to go all right. You know, we're just going to pray. It's all going to work out. We're going to have it all. No, you've got to be kidding. You don't understand the whole world. But it's trouble coming. Physical, financial, difficulty are coming to this church. It's going to come to believers. And I find that in the tribulation to this church. But in the midst of all that, there are spiritual riches and spiritual wealth and spiritual blessings and God going with you right on up to where you can see at the cross. I believe God's going to be there this day. God's going to be there this day. And I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Now look with me, if you will, to Matthew 25:51 and Matthew 28:2. 51. Uh-oh. I'll go again. Try 21.5 then. 27.51. I'll take 27.51. Forgive me. See if it's 27.51. Yeah. First mistake I ever made. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the Holy Spirit and appeared unto me. But you can notice that when that temple veil split and Jesus Christ opened the way into the Holy of Holies, and there was no curtain separating from the outer court to the inner inside the temple of the Lord, there was a great earthquake. A great earthquake. Look at 28:2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Not only was there an earthquake at the death of Jesus, there was an earthquake at the resurrection of Jesus. Earthquakes are signals of great happenings many times. There was an earthquake at the death of Jesus. There was an earthquake at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The earth did quake. Read the word of Acts chapter 2 and verse 20. And I will show, verse 19, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord shall come. And then what we're looking at right here? An earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Look at Joel chapter 2:31, where the prophecy is taken from. The minor prophet. Start out in verse 30. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and not terrible day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the names of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, in the remnant. In the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Let me read Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give a light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn as they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. You see, this passage is not talking about the rapture or the church. The rapture has already taken place. The tribulation period has already taken place. And you're at the end of the tribulation period. And as this earthquake happens and these things happen in the heavens to the sun and to the moon and to the stars, the sign of Jesus Christ is going to be in those heavens that he's coming back. And the earth's going to mourn because they know their day is here. Their day is coming. Let's look at it again. Verse 12. Revelation chapter 6. And out of hell, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. You know, I've been in earthquakes. I know you have not. But I was in Guatemala City, and I was sleeping up in a bed. I was sick, and I'd gotten up early in the morning. We'd had our family all done, had everything. We'd eaten breakfast, and I just didn't feel good. And I was studying at the time. I went back up and laid down on my bed, and as I was up an upstairs brick building, I was in the upstairs of a brick building, and the bed began to just jump up and down. And my two little boys are always messing with me. And I just knew they got out of that bed and were pestering me. I said, all right, boys, I'm tired and I'm sick. I don't feel like playing. Now get out of the bed and go on down. And that bed just kept a shaking. And that made me mad. You know, I expected to be obeyed when I said it. So I reached over and there wasn't anybody under that bed. And I got up and walked across to the window like this, you know, and I hung on, and there were people falling down on the ground outside, hanging on to the earth. They were scared. They were scared to death. Now, what do you think is going to happen when that earth begins to shake, a great earthquake? When that earth begins to shake, and they look up and turn black as cat crawl, and that night the moon, maybe even the sun, the moon up at the same time out there, and the moon is up there. Fear, they're going to be scared to death. One little old earth cannon, one little old volcano shook up a whole nation. You think what this great earthquake, and the sun become black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon become as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth. Falling stars. Now, I don't believe he's talking about Orion and other things coming down and hitting the earth, because the earth wouldn't take that. He's talking about falling stars. They didn't call them meteorites. They didn't call them, what are we talking about? They're talking about falling stars. There is going to be a meteorite bombardment that's going to come falling, and they're going to see streaks coming down. Have you ever really seen a bunch of falling stars? I have. I never will forget one night. I was a young man. I was camping on the Land Passage River. My cousins and I were out on the earth, 12, 13, 14, out in the hole. And we were down there, had a gun. We were fishing in the night and shooting squirrels and turtles and, you know, just really having a time. We were laying out there, and I don't know, we had sleeping bags, just a couple of quilts laying out on the gravel bottom. And it was so clear. There was no moon, and stars had just gone on. Beautiful. I mean, absolutely perfectly clear, just bright. The heavens were bright. And all of a sudden, about 11 o'clock, I never saw so many falling stars in all my life. I mean, they didn't come up. They just kept coming, just kept coming. The heavens were just bright as far as I could. I knew what they were. I wasn't scared of this. You ever heard what happens to some of the Indian tribes when they see the tail of a comet? Oh, boy. Whip some fear in them. And I'll tell you what, if that moon turns to blood, and that sun turns black as that fall, and the earth begins to shake, this old solid as Gibraltar earth begins to shake like jelly. And they begin to see the meteorites. And I believe they're going to be different. I believe in those meteorites coming out under some little pebble that burns out and some just make one little old flash. I believe when they come, they're going to light up the heavens and they're going to crack in the earth. I believe they're going to leave caverns in the earth like those things out there in Arizona. The stars that are never going to fall and bury themselves down and burn up. And they're going to see the light flashing and it's going to be coming down. It's going to look like an atomic bomb warfare. And those stars of heaven fall to the earth. The stars of heaven fell over the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together. Can't you just imagine that? Now, he just, remember, when we look at Revelation, we look at what he sees. Can't you imagine? You ever had a piece of skin that you've been stretching out? I don't know if you've ever done any roof work or not, but you've got this valley, you know, 24 inches wide. You've got your nice wide valley you're going to put up there. You've got to stretch that. It's been rolled up in a roll the whole time. And you've got the little rock on it back here. You're trying to roll it out to mark it off and cut it. You get down to the other end and something slips all the rocks. You go right on back. You're rolling back. It just rolls right back up. Can't you imagine if you're looking up at the heaven? You see the moonlight glow. You see the sun like sackcloth, and you see all these falling stars coming out, and all of a sudden the heavens just roll away. That's what he said he saw. Rolled up like a scroll. You know, like these things you got up on the window. You know, you pull down the screen, you pull down this shade, and all of them. I used to have one in the house that never would stick. Boy, you had to play. That was precious. I mean, you really had to play with that thing. You'd get down in it, and I've got it just where I want. Don't want it too long where it's flopping over the bottom, you know. You don't want it too short where the sun sits in it. You want it just right. You get it right to the right place, you go, go out and up to the top. You pull it back down again, and it go again. That's what the heavens are going to do. Roll up like a scroll. That's what he saw. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. You talk about an earthquake. I mean, a mountain like, I mean, an island like Hawaii is going to be moved from where it is. They're going to have to change the map. Mount Everest is going to shift places. Every mountain and island is going to be moved. They said they're all going to disappear, but they're going to be moved out of their place. There's going to be such changes taking place in the earth. Men's hearts are going to fail them from fear. And the kings of the earth and the great men, the rich men, the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman, every free man, hid themselves. That's unlimited terror. Can't you imagine what you'd be like? Think what they're going to be like. They look what they've already gone through, man. We're down to the sixth seal. We're coming to the end of it. And it's getting worse and worse from all we go. Unlimited terror. The kings, the rich men, the mighty men, the poor men, everybody. Don't look at who it is. They're all scared to death. They hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Boy, they left the city. They're running. Everybody's hiding in his cave. You know, it's amazing to me how the Bible just shows up evolution to be wrong. Evolution thinks all men started in a cave and going to end up in utopia. My Bible says that they started in the Garden of Eden, utopia, and going to end up in a cave. Oh, well, that's free. And said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. Who are they hiding from? From the wrath of the Lamb. You listen to all the modernistic preaching about gentle, loving Jesus. But he is gentle and loving. I say it's God, his grace, and his mercy. I want you to know they have misunderstood Scripture. And they think that Jesus Christ has no wrath, has no anger, and will not use it. He's going to use it. The world is going to tremble in unlimited horror at the coming of Jesus Christ. And they're going to cry, may this mountain fall in on them. What could be worse than what they've got? The wrath of the Lamb. I want you to think, they know what they're talking about. The wrath of the Lamb. Fall on them, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Look at Joel 1:16. Last for the day, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Look at Matthew 24:6-14. Matthew 24:6-14. You shall hear wars and rumors of wars, so that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you, shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and they shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and men shall be in time. It's the gospel of the kingdom. Not the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the coming young Jesus, setting up his throne. It's the gospel of Jesus preached and John the Baptist preached. It's the good news the king is coming to set up his kingdom. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God shall become one and Jesus shall reign on the face of the earth. The gospel of the kingdom. Notice it. It's going to be preached in all nations for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. You say, well, we in the church aren't doing a very good job. Well, we're doing what we can do. But I'll tell you what. And those 144,000 Jews we're going to read about in chapter 7 of the book of Revelation get through with their job. Every nation's going to hurt. Going to hurt. Every nation will hurt. What will it cost them? Well, it's going to cost the world their lives to come out to Jesus. Won't we come to Jesus? And then, well, after a few weeks or a few months, while I was sitting home watching television, go to church isn't interesting enough for me anymore. No. It'll cost them. Anybody take the stand then? Can take a stand at the thread of their blood. We talk about some tough times because iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold. Well, I can take you to several others. Well, let's look at them. Jeremiah 37. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Look at Joel 2:11. Somebody's going to learn where Joel is after we get through now, won't you? For the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Turn to Zephaniah 1:14. Zephaniah. Habakkuk, Zephaniah. Zephaniah 1:14, page 928 in my Bible. It's before Haggai. After Habakkuk. And before Haggai, one 14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty men shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the thick cities, against the high towers. And I'll bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh is dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make the speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. All right, one more. Everybody very quickly, turn to Hezekiah chapter 1, verse 14. Anybody hunting? There ain't no Hezekiah. Sorry about that. Praise the Lord. I've always had fun with that. You got you only when you first got saved. I wonder how many of I got tonight.
I'll have some of them.
That teaches you to memorize those Bible, your Bible, know all those books in the Old and the First, Old and New Testament. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, as you study chapter 7 before you come next Sunday night, there are two great companies of the saved. And this is much confused by many people, especially...